You know the Reverend David Beckman as the longtime head of Bread for the World, an effective initiative for fighting hunger and poverty worldwide. David has been so good to come on State of Belief many times and talk about conditions in the world that we all need to know about and to set before us challenges that we need to accept. As Washington debates budgets and deficits, one of the most important things to not lose sight of is which programs do the most good. And even as some would argue that foreign aid must take a backseat to domestic priorities, one of the true success stories of recent years has been the remarkable impact of programs aimed at childhood health. And as an activist deeply familiar with the facts and figures of this aid, I'm very pleased to have David Beckman back with us again on State of Belief Radio. David, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Listen, let's begin with truth. There are a number of myths surrounding foreign aid for children's welfare, and that makes the programs particularly vulnerable in today's budget-cutting environment. Budget hawks claim that a huge part of our spending is foreign aid, but that's not the truth, is it?
No. All the foreign affairs spending that we do is about 1% of the federal budget. Mm. You know, so that includes security aid, that kind of thing. The part of foreign aid that is related to reducing poverty in the world is 0.5% of our federal budget.
Are we not getting that in the public, David, because...
No, most people, I mean, if you just ask people, most people think 14-15% of the federal budget goes to foreign aid.
Yeah.
I don't know where that comes from. Maybe people mix it up with military spending, but it's been a persistent misunderstanding of Americans. Maybe it goes back to the Marshall Plan when we were really helping Europe, but... All of the assistance we give to poor countries to help them grow, or to poor people to help them take care of their kids better or be more productive farmers, it all comes to 0.5% of the federal budget. And if you break it down, say, to what it costs me, all of the U.S. programs around the world that are helping to provide safe water to people who drink dirty water. A lot of them have never tasted a glass of clean water. Yeah. And all of that amounts to about $1 per American per year.
Good grief.
You know, it's life-saving. It's life-saving. And my judgment is that the programs that are focused on reducing poverty have actually been remarkably successful. Some of the stories that have led a lot of people in this country to think that foreign aid is wasted, those stories come when the U.S. government sometimes, in effect, is using foreign aid to buy an Air Force base or something. Mm. You know, if they're doing it for security purposes and then they send some people over to try to use that money for schools or something, well, what they're really trying to do is get the Air Force base. And so if it doesn't end up that the education project is all that successful, you know, we shouldn't be so surprised. The programs that are really focused on reducing poverty, they work.
Yeah, and the efficiency of the aid given is very, very good, according to the statistics. We get a lot of bang for our buck. You mentioned the water situation. Talk about another program or two that are just remarkably good in helping us get all we want from our money.
Well, we spend $3 a person to help defeat malaria around the world. And UNICEF recently published some figures that compared to 2000, 400,000 fewer kids will die from malaria around the world this year.
Mm.
And that U.S. has provided major leadership in you know, just distributing bed nets and teaching people what they can do to combat malaria. Mm. It's not easy in tropical areas, you know, with a lot of water around.
Mm-hmm.
But you can do a lot in general when you're working in poor countries. You know, the average income per person, maybe something like $400 per person a year. Mm-hmm. People are really poor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you can, for not very much money, you can build a mud brick schoolhouse and put a tin roof on it, and it's transformative. It's a huge change in the life of those people, and it doesn't cost very much money mm-hmm. in terms of the kind of money that we're used to spending in the United States. Not that, I mean, every dollar counts. Bread for the World and the faith community generally have done a lot of work to push to make our foreign aid better. There are things that we can do to make it better.
Mm-hmm.
But we just, a group of 36 faith-based organizations decided this was a good time to send Congress a thank you note.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is Catholic Relief Services and Bread for the World and American Jewish World Service, a whole bunch of groups.
Uh-huh.
And we just decided, you know, Congress is getting beat up all the time. But if you look back over 20 years, Congress has made it possible for our country to be a leader in making this the healthiest generation of children in the history of the world.
Uh-huh.
It's just stunning that 6 million fewer children will die this year than in 1990.
You know,
people all around the world work to make that happen. But the fact that the U.S. government has consistently focused some of our foreign assistance on child health has made a huge difference in the world for the better. So we sent Congress a thank you note and then said, for God's sake, don't cut it now.
Well, you know, David, I'm so struck by these myths or lack of knowledge. And I don't mean this in an inappropriate way, but did Congress do all of that accidentally, or did they know how much good they were doing?
Well, I think it's a lot of it's been people of faith over the years.
Uh-huh.
In the 1980s, early 1980s, during the Reagan years, UNICEF made it clear that with not very much money,
mm-hmm.
we could dramatically reduce child death. So one thing they did was what they call oral rehydration therapy. You know, a lot of the kids who die in developing countries die from diarrhea.
Mm-hmm.
They drink dirty water or something, and then they get diarrhea and dehydrate. But if you have little packets of sugar and salt that you put into clean water and give that to the baby, you can keep the baby from dying of diarrhea. That packet mm-hmm. costs a dime.
Goodness.
So UNICEF had a number of simple ideas like that in the yeah. early 80s. And it was really the faith, especially Bread for the World, but more generally the faith community rallied around that and convinced the U.S. Congress during the 80s to ramp up funding for what were called child survival programs. Those programs have operated all around the world since the 80s,
mm-hmm.
teaching low-income parents some simple things that they can do to keep their kids from dying.
Mm.
And so every day, 5,000 or 6,000 fewer kids die in developing countries than would have died before those programs were launched. And it was people of faith
mm-hmm.
that brought that to their members of Congress. And then in the run-up to the year 2000, it was the churches that rallied around the idea of writing off some of the debts for well-governed poor countries.
Yeah. With Bread for the World being the leader in that.
Well, we chaired the legislative coalition, and as a result of that, I think it's 40 million more kids are in school in Africa mm-hmm. than were in school in the year 2000, because
mm-hmm.
we worked so that it wouldn't be just writing off debts for poor country governments, but that it would be jubilee for poor people, you know,
right.
that the money would actually get to primary schools and basic health care. And so it's allowed many African countries to provide primary education, public
yeah.
primary schools without tuition, and so families can now send their girls to school. It's been a whole generation of young women are coming out of primary schools. They can read and write, add and subtract. You know, so they're healthy young women. They will be healthier mothers, better farmers. They'll have fewer children. You know, the
yeah.
best way to reduce population growth is to teach a girl how to read and write and add and subtract. It just changes.
Yeah.
She plans her life, and you have fewer babies.
I tell you, I get chills listening to you talk about that kind of progress. And we're talking about real people's lives. You're now involved with a campaign called All God's Children. Will you tell us about that and who's involved?
Yeah, this is this group of 36 faith organizations. It's an interfaith working group on foreign assistance, and we've put together this campaign to educate first, just to let members of Congress know mm-hmm. all the good that has been done with relatively little money through development assistance programs, and also to educate the American public. And then the point is to keep them from cutting these programs now. I want to say that, in fact, given all their huge threats to everything in the U.S. budget that's got anything to do with people who are struggling, you know, very powerful forces are pushing to cut food stamps, cut foreign aid, cut anything that's got to do with poor people, really, especially things. I mean, they're concerned about the deficit, but disproportionately the attack's been on programs for poor people. But in this area of development assistance, it's been surprising, but in fact, we've been able to see bipartisan pushback.
Mm-hmm.
Senator Lindsey Graham from South Carolina, Senator Dan Coats from Indiana, Senator Roy Blunt from Missouri, they're among the Republican senators who have held the line. Mm-hmm. And surprisingly, stunningly, these programs that save lives around the world mm-hmm. have really been protected from cuts. But, you know, they're on the chopping block again now as they debate the sequester. And so people of faith, other people of goodwill, we need to weigh in and say, for God's sake, you know, these things, these cuts to these programs kill people.
I'm not just are you hopeful, but are you optimistic that the programs will be saved?
Well, nobody knows. We've got to fight for them.
Yeah.
You know, so people can help by writing to their senator, writing to their House member and saying, you know, maintain a circle of protection around programs that are important to hungry and poor people in our own country and around the world.
So, David, you anticipated what I was going to ask you here at the end of what our listeners can do. In just a sentence or two, and this may be redundant, but in a sentence or two, tell our listeners what to write to their members of Congress so that they will be heard on this issue.
So one way to just check in is to go to bread.org. You can write to your member of Congress from Bread for the World's website, bread.org. There are also suggested language that you can adapt. It's important that if people write, they write personal letters. If it just seems like it's a machine that wrote the letter, it won't make much difference.
Right.
And basically what we're saying to members of Congress is that we want them to maintain a circle of protection around programs that provide help and opportunity to poor and hungry people in this country and also around the world.
The Reverend David Beckman is president of Bread for the World. And, now listen to this, a World Food Prize laureate. Now, that may sound like something that you get as the winner of America's Top Chef TV program, but it's far, far more important than that. David, you work at the fulcrum of so many in need and so many who have abundance, and your effectiveness at reconciling these two worlds is absolutely remarkable. That's why it is always good to hear from you, so thanks again for joining us on State of Belief Radio.
Well, thank you, Elton. I really appreciate your program.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. State of Belief Radio is made possible in part by the generous donations of listeners like you. Please visit us online at stateofbelief.com and consider making a contribution, a financial contribution today. We'll use it wisely to keep State of Belief on the air and to expand the reach of this program at a time when so few voices representing an inclusive, respectful approach to interreligious dialogue seem to exist. StateOfBelief.com is also where you can find out more about the show, hear extended interviews, watch in-studio videos, read transcripts, and sign up for our podcast. You'll find more information about the topics discussed on this week's show and resources to help bring State of Belief to a radio station near you. Stay in touch with us throughout the week on Facebook and Twitter. There's also contact information available at stateofbelief.com. We encourage you to tell others about this show, and we encourage you to have them join the conversation so that we can extend this thing across the nation. And join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, you all take care of each other. I'm Welton Gaddy. That's State of Belief.
The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. You see what he was.